She reduces, reuses, and recycles. She talks the talk and walks the walk. She doesn't tell you what to think. She just wants you to. She's Mrs. Green. And this is Mrs. Green's World on the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are indeed listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think, we just want you to. Our show today was made possible due to the generous support of Goodwill Industries of Southern Arizona. Their mission is to provide services, training, and jobs to people with barriers to employment, and indeed they do, indeed they do. We are a big, big fan of Goodwill Industries here at Mrs. Green's World, so check them out at their website. And when you're thinking about donating anything, put Goodwill at the top of your list. Okay, so everybody get ready. The name of our show today is The Power of Propane. And it's going to sound weird, but 6 or 7 years ago, I interviewed on one of my very first shows when I was on Clear Channel, a man named Captain Bernard. And our guest today is connected to him. There's like 2 degrees of separation. The name of the show is The Power of Propane, and talking with us about that in a lot of really great and important detail is Jim Coker. He is the Director of Propane Applications at R&R Products. We'll tell you a little bit more about them during the show, and I read a lot about Jim, and what I read stands out. He does care greatly about the environment and about best practices, and I hope he's going to tell us everything he knows about the power of propane and why it is so important for people to educate themselves and learn why propane is important for the planet. Jim, thanks for taking the time out of your busy cross-country, always on a jet plane schedule. We're glad to have you.
Glad to be here.
Okay, and I'm going to fire away with questions. Why don't you start? It's always good to give our listeners a little sense about your background and how your journey led you to the Director of Propane Applications at R&R Products.
Well, it goes back over 30 years. I was instrumental in bringing the first propane burnisher or buffer in the cleaning industry. These are buffers that you go in and buff floors, shines floors up in Walmart, the Kmart, any type of a grocery store where they put that big shine. It used to be done by 1,500 RPM electric machines, which took many, many hours all night to clean their floors, and then the first propane buffer came out about 1980, and I was one of the first ones to adopt that. I worked for Rug Doctor and started the cleaning industry. It was called ICM, Industrial Cleaning Management, and we started using propane burnishers in the early 80s, and we were in 40 states cleaning floors all around the country. On propane, and I can remember the first machine I took into a store, they said, oh, you can't bring it in here, you'll choke us out. And, you know, propane burns so clean. Forklifts have been in the industry for over 80 years, running indoors 24 hours a day in warehouses, and so I never thought that running a cleaning company and using propane burnishers would next lead me into starting a company called Onyx Environmental Solutions with a friend of mine, Dave Calver, who had a patent on the first low-polluting commercial lawnmower on propane, and he did it in 1996. And so we started introducing commercial propane mowers, and I always thought in the back of my mind, well, there's over a million commercial mowers mowing every day. That's how people make a living, is mowing people's properties or mowing properties. And then I always thought that, well, look at the golf industry or turf industry. That's the next step. So about a year ago, I joined R&R Products to introduce the very first golf and turf equipment on propane. And you know how green all the golf courses are. So this is a brand new entity just getting off the ground.
And from what I hear from our friend Tom Rogers, it's going gangbusters. And I hope this show is used as an educational tool to get people to wake up about it. But let me just go back. I just have to ask this question, and it is a personal one. When you were on this journey, was it because it excited you about the new technologies, or did you really early on see the environmental benefits to using propane, of which there are many, and we're going to go through them? Where were you? Were you like, this is a good business, or this is good business for me and the planet?
It really hit home to me. I am born and raised East Tennessee, Smoky Mountains. And I don't know if people know, so Smoky Mountain National Park is the most visited national park in this country, and it's also the most polluted national park in this country because of the automobile emissions, TVA, coal-fired plants, and the environment has always been a very big issue to me because if you go on top of the Smokies of Mount LeConte up in the top, the trees on the very top are dead due to acid rain. And you just see that, and you fly around the country like I do, and you fly over a big city, you see that big brown haze.
And I will say,
it's everywhere you go. And so the environmental things, as I learned about propane, how clean it was, takes out 70 to 90% of harmful emissions out of the air. And then what really hit home even more so than just the environmental aspects is the sustainability. Being a true American, my ancestors go back past the Civil War in East Tennessee and to see what's happening in the world today with the extremists and all that. You go to T. Boone Pickens' website, and according to him, and it is true, we have no energy policy, and that we send $1 billion a day overseas to people that hate our guts on foreign oil. And yet propane is 100% an American fuel made right here in this country. And when it can be used in so many applications and has been used for over 100 years, to me, why wouldn't you use something that's made right here and produced right here in America? And now we're producing so much of it from the shale gases that are coming. In fact, they've called us the Saudi Arabia of shale gas, which is natural gas, wet gas. Propane comes from that. We are now the largest exporter of propane in the world. We're shipping 50% of it out of this country, and yet barges are coming into this country from foreign oil. And to me, that and the environmental issue strikes home to me even more so when you look at how much oil we use in this country.
And it doesn't take a lot of research. And I do my homework for these shows, but when you start researching the benefits of propane, it's hard to find a downside on every level, and I'd like to really get into that. So the EPA has absolutely approved it as an alternative engine fuel. What about emissions? How does it stand up against gasoline or diesel?
Well, gasoline and diesel are two different things. Diesel being the most harmful emission.
Right.
If you Google diesel emissions, it's a carcinogen. It's a cancer-causing emission.
Right.
And even California, especially if you read the latest thing, there are incentives across this country to really get back in lowering diesel emissions. Now, gas emissions are harmful within itself. I mean, people have committed suicide going into their garages, turning their car on, and dying of asphyxiation from carbon monoxide poisoning. And diesel is just as bad. And the thing about it, with diesels, they're so harmful that people, if you're in the engine industry, have last year went into effect a Tier 4 level, which actually puts more standards on these diesel emissions to lower the emission from these harmful diesels. And what happens is that it takes more horsepower now to run it, so it takes a bigger diesel engine to run the same amount of an engine. And then the consumption has actually dropped down to equivalent to gasoline because we're having to work harder. And the price has increased 10 to 15% of the diesel engine. And that's a big thing when cost goes up, all this. People think that going green is going to cost you a lot more money. And on gasoline and diesel engines, sometimes it does because of the restrictions. But with propane takes 97% of the carcinogens out of the emissions.
Wow.
And the biggest thing that's happening right now is the school bus industry. And there's no safer vehicles in this industry than school buses. The stringent properties they go through for hauling children. Well, the majority of these buses around the country have been diesel. And say they sit in a schoolyard, they idle, they're lined up, and the diesel emissions, the tailpipes are about the same level as children breathing in. And so now Bluebird Bus and other bus companies are now their number one selling buses are going propane because they can cut those harmful emissions out. And, you know, the propane engines are costing less now than the diesel engines. So they're and the cost of the fuel is much less. So propane is really starting to take off in a lot of different industries, a lot of different markets. And I know you're going to ask me about PERC. They've been very instrumental in getting this. That's the Propane Education Research Council. But the emissions overall, when you look at all of them, they vary different ways. Overall, greenhouse gas emissions are reduced by 30%, carcinogens by 97%, 60% in smog form emissions. You can just keep going on in the reductions of what propane does. And just I've mentioned one thing. I have a sunroom where I heat in the wintertime with a propane little heater indoors.
Uh-huh.
It's a non-vented heater. You don't even have to vent propane to show you how clean the emissions are. I guarantee you couldn't run a gasoline or a diesel heater indoors without some sort of a vent of some sort. It'd kill you. So
right,
it just shows
live,
you how
you
clean burning
propane is. You could do it, but
is.
You wouldn't live very long.
No, you wouldn't.
That's a very big downside. And I always think about when I'm interviewing people like you and you're so passionate about it, I don't think enough people think about the operators of these kinds of equipment because they're the ones that are, I mean, they're like the first inhalers, as I call them. They're there when, you know, if you're using gasoline or propane and the emissions are going out into the atmosphere, those people sitting in this on the, you know, on the truck or on the tractor or whatever, they're inhaling it. So it's a real big health benefit to the first line of people that are going to be exposed to it. And I think that's a big high five. What about...
Yeah, one of the first golf courses we tested at in Arizona with R&R, I forget the name of the course. Of course, I'm not from Arizona, but I was there with R&R. They do a thing called striping where they make the golf course look very pretty where they go across back and forth. And the people running the equipment were wearing masks. And I said, is the grass bothering you? They said, no, it's the diesel emissions that are bothering us. And so we gave them our equipment to try out on propane. They didn't have to use any kind of mask because there's no emissions whatsoever that you can smell that are harmful to you.
And, you know, the other thing is that this why, and I'm jumping around with my questions, so I'll be out of order here pretty quick, but what about why are people so afraid of it? It doesn't make sense. It's not logical. Because it's used so many places in our homes and in our schools and on and on. What are some of the, like, the ungrounded fears? I guess people think the tank's going to blow up.
Yeah,
what is it?
If propane's been out for 100 years.
Right.
And like I say, it's been used in home heating, cooking, the grill heaters and all that. Where it comes from is us watching James Bond and all these other movies where, you know, to get away from the bad guy, they shoot a propane tank and it blows up. But you can Google Mythbusters. You know how Mythbusters
does that.
And they did that on a propane tank. And let me state, number one, a propane tank is 20 times stronger than any plastic gas tank that is on any kind of equipment. You know, even on cars now, your tanks are plastic. These tanks are 20 times puncture resistant. In fact, an actual a gun cannot penetrate the tank. They had to use a high-powered rifle to even penetrate the tank. Now, a lot of people don't realize propane is always stored in a liquid inside that tank. And propane in a liquid is minus 44 degrees below zero.
Oh, my gosh.
It's actually odorless, colorless, and non-flammable in its natural state. So they shot it. And then all it does is release it. Propane boils at anything above minus 44, and when it boils, it gives off a vapor. The vapor is what's flammable. So now if you ignite the vapor on it, it will catch on fire, but again, it doesn't blow up. One of the big things that are happening now, like I say, a school bus is being safe, is also police cars are using propane a lot. And you can Google propane police cars, and they have a video too to show what would happen if someone shot a propane tank, just a regular propane tank, in the back of a car. And again, it takes a high-powered rifle. They can shoot it puncture the tank, it doesn't explode. It releases the gas inside of it when it starts boiling. So I think watching James Bond and all these things, people think of that way, but then again, they go out and grill every day on their back decks with propane. Don't think anything about it. Or start, if they have a little heater on their back deck that runs on propane, and people all across our country use this for heating, for cooking. Now you're seeing it in air conditionings. I have a tankless hot water heater on propane. That's just wonderful. It only works when you need it. So, you know, things have certainly evolved. It is a big education to educate people on the use and the safety of propane.
And when you really go into it, I mean, I was cracking up when I'm doing this research. I'm thinking we have it. Almost everybody I know has a propane tank sitting in their backyard because sure. That's what we grill with. And it's so much safer to barbecue with that and not use lighter fluid or whatever that called, you know, not like, yeah, lighter fluid. It's disgusting. Yeah. That's toxic and it smells. What about the, I remember when we were talking about Captain Bernardo, you and I, off air, we connected that dot. He was talking about the unbelievable amounts of spillage danger to soil and water from gas mowers and those, you know, those little portable weed whackers, we call them, when you put gasoline in it. It's toxic. I got a big statistic for you about that.
Well, according to the EPA, more than 17 million gallons of fuel is spilled every year from refueling your lawn and garden equipment. According to EPA, there's 17 million pieces of lawn and garden equipment in this country of 25 horsepower and below. And if you've ever filled your lawnmower or any kind of a weed eater or chainsaw, it's hard to put it in there precisely. You just don't. And even for lawnmowers. And 17 million gallons of fuel spilled a year, that's amazing. That's more than the Exxon Valdez spilled in Alaska.
When I read that, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And filling, I'm live in Tucson, and we don't have any grass, but I grew up in New Jersey. Well, I mean, we don't have any in our yard.
Right.
I grew up in New Jersey, and nobody wanted the job of filling the lawnmower because it was a dirty job. It's disgusting, and it smells, and it gets on your hand. It's awful. So when I read that about from the EPA about how much in comparison, when you're comparing it to Exxon Valdez in the Gulf of Alaska, it's like people stand up and take notice. We're going to go to break in about 3 minutes, but I don't want to start in the middle of something. So how about maintenance? Because it's cleaner burning, because it's not as, you know, have all the things in it connected to diesel, does it really translate to lower cost, lower maintenance? What's the situation on that?
Absolutely. Propane has 70% less carbon in the fuel. Everybody talks about less carbon footprint. The carbon in the fuel is what turns your engine oil dark, and that's what wears inside your engine. That's the reason you have to change your engine oil. With 70% less carbon in the fuel, your engine oil will never look dirty.
Jeez.
Therefore, you can go 2 to 3 times longer without changing oil. So that saves in a lot of things. Plus, you don't have the fuel filters. Ethanol that's being put in gasoline is the number one issue against small engines. And it clogs injectors. It starts water damage inside. It attacks any kind of your seals and stuff in there. So ethanol being the worst thing you could put in an engine, propane doesn't eliminate all of that. So your maintenance costs can drop 50% in most of your engines using propane.
And it probably causes less wear and tear. I mean, it just, if you change your oil filter out, that's fine. But overall, you're going to have an engine that's going to last a lot longer because you're putting good stuff in there. I think I'm probably going to be on your sales team after this show. It's like money in the bank. I'm not kidding. I'm pretty high on propane, and I mean that literally. I am not personally high. My intellect is very excited about it. So when we come back, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about who you're selling to and what are you selling. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And talk about with what's going on with R&R products. I told you Tom Rogers is so excited about this, and I think they sell 275 products, but the one he wanted to tell me about was the golf and turf applications, because even though I do live in Arizona, you know you cannot drive 5 miles without coming upon a golf course. It's
sure.
Oh, and when you go to Phoenix, it's about every 2 miles. So everybody, please stay here with me. We're going to learn more about propane. We've already established how safe it is. We're talking with Jim Coker, who is the director of applications at R&R Products, and he's got lots more interesting information to share with us. Please stay here with me.
Join us for a new Mrs. Green's World episode every Saturday at 12 noon Arizona time at MrsGreensWorld.com. All of our past shows are available as on-demand podcasts at MrsGreensWorld.com. Listen on your computer or mobile device using the Igloo radio app. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram. We are a proud member of the Dream Vision 7, Glimmer Glass, Green Radio Divas, Blog Talk, and Speak Up Radio Networks. If you have questions or comments about the show, write to us at info@MrsGreensWorld.com. We'd love to hear from you. More Mrs. Green's World next.
University of Arizona professor John Pollard asked the students in the Posada San Pedro Hall to consider bringing solar energy to the dorm. Just 3 years later, the Solar Cats, a group of students who took up the cause, have installed 44 solar panels on the dorm, saving 20,000 kilowatt hours of energy and reducing greenhouse gas emissions by 14 metric tons every year. Talk about students with a sunny future. The University of Arizona. Big questions, bold solutions, better tomorrows.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. And today we're asking you to think about propane. The name of our show today is actually The Power of Propane. Here to talk with us about that is the Director of Propane Applications at R&R Products, Jim Coker. And Jim, before we go on with the show, I have to make a quick announcement about some fun thing happening in Mrs. Green's World. We're doing a swell summer giveaway. And it begins on June 22nd. It's only going to be a short contest, ends June 26th, and you're going to be able to participate in a scavenger hunt on the Mrs. Green's World website. We have some really neat prizes. A swell bottle will be one of them, glass Dharma straws, and a copy of my new book, Your Mother Called, Mother Earth, You Better Call Back. It's fun. Go to our website. We'll put the announcement out on June 22nd. And we want you to get to learn more about all of the great content we have on our website, including a podcast of this show that will live on there forever. So, Jim, thanks for being with us.
It's been great.
It's really, it's like, okay, that was the first segment. Now we can talk quickly through the second segment. And maybe this segment we could talk a little bit about the product. You know, there's cost. How does it compare? What R&R product has in terms of market advantage, because I did do my research about that. So let's start with the relationship that R&R products has. I mean, the market advantage. Complete fleet of what in the industry? What are you excited about getting on golf courses?
Okay. Before I lead up to that, I want to lead up to where I was working in doing conversions of aftermarket engines on propane.
Great.
And was mainly focused on the commercial mowing. And I approached R&R about 3 years ago about the golf industry, because to get a manufacturer to do alternative fuels, they're concerned about really their product line, what they're selling. And I always got in the background in the zero-turn market. Well, nobody's asking for it. And it was the same way with the golf industry and the turf. There's only three major manufacturers in the turf industry, and they weren't interested in propane. They're just interested in their bottom line profit and all that. And when I approached R&R, they, as you know, they've been in business, family-owned, since 1971, selling parts to the golf industry since the 71, and I approached them about doing propane, and they liked it, they thought well of it, and so putting all these parts together, they put the golf and turf equipment, and they're offering four mowers, or really three mowers, and one Sand Pro, that everything is done on propane, and we know that You go to a golf course, how beautiful they are, how manicured they are. Well, they're done with precision mowers. Take you, for example, the biggest one they call the Real Max fairway mower. It's what mows the fairways, makes them, and it's a real type. And that is predominantly run by diesel engines. I would say 95% of all golf courses are doing it with diesel engines today.
Wow.
That's what's been done in this industry.
Wow.
And so our biggest thing with anything that you do is finding the correct engine to run on an alternative fuel, and there's really none other than propane out there. You can't run natural gas. Let people know that natural gas is a different fuel and that it can only hold about a third of the fuel in the same amount of tank consumption-wise, and the tanks would be thousands of dollars and the infrastructure would be $1 million to do a natural gas refueling. So it doesn't work. There's nothing else that works or as portable as propane. So our biggest unit is a Kubota fuel-injected engine. And Kubota rates the engine higher horsepower on propane than it even does on diesel. And so you have the power there, and the consumption rate is within the 10% range of a diesel would give you, and the cost of propane is half of what diesel would cost you.
It just blows me away. And I mean, a little bit about R&R products. I should tell people, because we have people listening from all over the world, that R&R Products is the world's leading manufacturer of replacement parts for the commercial golf and turf industry. I mean, they're number one, and I'm so proud. In the world. In the world. And
yes.
It was started, Roy Rogers, I always thought that was pretty fun. Roy H. Rogers started it in 1971. They are still family-owned and operated. All of the kids work there, I think. And they employ almost 300 people in Tucson. They are a very valued and respected employer here in the Old Pueblo. So a little shout-out for R&R Products. And I'm glad Tom Rogers was so excited that he said, Gina, you have to come hear about this, because I am excited. So it's really, going back to the golf courses, you know, I can just see this big tipping point where as things get more expensive and propane is going to always be readily available, not get as expensive when we're importing, because we don't have to import it, it could create change rather quickly, I would hope.
When I came to them to start this, I have been very active on the PERC committee, Propane Education Research Committee, and we got a grant to do 8 golf courses around the country to get this going. With anything new, people are always hesitant.
Right. Change
people
is
are very
tough.
Brand oriented.
Yes.
You know, just like a Chevrolet or Ford, you're very brand oriented.
Right.
Someone comes up with something new, oh, it's not for me. But I just came last week from a Marriott course in Stone Mountain, Georgia, and Anthony Williams has been very highly recognized for his environmental effects with Marriott and the golf courses. And he was just going on about not only the environmental benefits, but you can't spill propane. So, you know, spilling anything on a golf course is just something that you
it's
cannot
bad.
Do.
It's really bad.
And, you know, and the storage issues of gasoline and diesel, the things you have to go through in storing that type of stuff. Here, it's put in cylinders. You don't have to worry about any kind of a leakage or fuel going bad or any of that. Then with the emissions and, you know, just everything you talk about, there is nothing, as you mentioned, negative in any of this. It's just, I think the mindset in people's minds is that when you're not used to doing something, then it's new to you, so you're hesitant about it. And then most people think, well, when you go environmentally friendly or green, it's going to cost me a lot more. I'm going to have to spend a lot more. But this is just the opposite. You're spending less on everything. Their maintenance cost has been nothing since doing propane, much less than their diesels. And he's already told me in running less than 6 months, he has already showed from last year of a saving of almost $3,000 just in his fuel cost.
I mean, that's
unbelievable. Who in this industry is not being scrutinized over costs of any type of business, and especially golf courses? I mean, they think golf courses are rich. Some are, but some are under budgets to have to meet certain criteria. And now if you can reduce all of that and do this, it's just outstanding. And, you know, with R&R, and someone asked me, well, how good is the R&R equipment? And I asked this golf course, I said, well, don't you buy R&R parts now? He says, yes. I said, well, how good are the parts? He says, the parts are excellent. I said, well, this is just a bunch of parts put together. And he laughed. He says, I guess you got me there.
Oh, gosh. So just, I want to hear a little bit more about the grant. What is it covering? Is it covering actually purchase of the equipment, or is it more education? What is the grant intended to do?
Okay. Good question. Well, like I say, PERC is Propane Educational Research Council.
Right.
Their goal is to educate and to show the benefits of propane in so many applications. You can go to propanecouncil.com or PERC.com. You can find them online. But what they did, they paid for 50% of four pieces of equipment. That's what they
made. Wow.
A fairway mower, a trim mower, a greens mower that they mow the greens with, and a Sandmax that actually is a big bunker rake. All of it on propane, 100% propane. There's no dual fuels in any of this. And so what we did, we joined Audubon International, and Audubon International is very instrumental in setting up Audubon-certified courses that meet, you know, environmental sustainability-type applications in golf courses and other entities around the world. Audubon, we've all heard of them for years. So we joined Audubon, and then what we did, we wanted to get in these eight courses around the country, is to get feedback from them, how well they like the equipment, the emissions, the cost of running, the maintenance, the fueling. So we have a whole list of things, and they get the equipment for 1 year. And at the end of the year, the golf course has a choice to buy the equipment at the 50% off of what PERC paid the first 50%. So R&R is carrying the second 50%, but the golf course can carry the second 50%. So we did three Marriott courses. We've done Stone Mountain, Georgia, which is a Marriott course. We did the Renaissance Fenoy in St. Petersburg, which is very historic, very high-end.
Right.
And the J.W. Marriott in Palm Springs, California.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
And then we've done three Billy Casper courses. Now, remember, all of these courses are all Audubon certified, so they all have a conscious effort of doing things. So the three Billy Casper courses is Fernandina Beach in Florida, George Dunn up in Chicago, Illinois, and what is the other? Reston National, right outside of Washington, D.C. And so we wanted some, you know, people from Washington, D.C., politicians to come see that. And then we picked two government courses. We're doing Eagles Pride, which is a government army base owned by the military. And we're doing the city of Columbus, Ohio, city of Columbus, Ohio. They have five golf courses in their city, and they were picked as the number one best fleets in America last year. I helped them 5 years ago do all of their commercial mowers on propane. So they're very high on propane.
So you've got
all
a lot
these
of credibility.
Courses will give us a lot of feedback.
Yeah, you've got a lot of credibility, and I can see from this history, door openers. I mean, people listen to you and respect what you have to say, so I'm sure that helped in saying, let's try this. I mean, I just have to press pause here for a minute, because the irony of all this to me in doing the research was that which humans do, myself included. Yes, I have a propane tank on my porch. Never worry about it. But, oh, would I use it for a lawnmower because the tank might explode? That's one of the things that I'm laughing about with this, because it is a myth, and it's illogical. But that's kind of the thing on a grander scale that you have to get over, where people press pause in their head and say, oh, but what if it explodes? And now I know I learned it from James Bond, which makes me feel so much better.
Well, we've had that in training, too. At each course that we went to, we've delivered personally, we did training. We've educated not only the city, you know, a lot of people understand what we're doing here.
Right.
But also the operators, you know, because I get this. Oh, I'm sitting between two bombs, or can I smoke on this, you know. It's a non-vented fuel, where gasoline and diesel are both vented fuels. But by the time that we go through the training process of educating them on propane, what it does, how it does, everything. I can tell you they feel so much better, comfortable over it. And now I'm getting feedback already that the guys who are running the equipment are fighting over the propane. They'd rather drive the propane now than they would the diesel ones.
That's great.
The performance have just been excellent. And so you don't have the chokes. You don't have a lot of the things that you have on the natural, like in diesel, you know, where you have a little bit of a preheater sometimes if it's cold. You know, you eliminate so many things in doing the propane, and the feedback has just so far been excellent. And like I say, the equipment itself is running very, very well. Of course, like I say, R&R is, you know, even though they're fairly new to the equipment side, they are not new to the golf industry and the parts. Like I say, it's just a matter of putting all the parts together and being a leader out there. And that's what I approached them with, is that, you know, yeah, there's competition out there, but with us, there's no competition because no one is offering propane-powered equipment right now.
It's really, really exciting. And, you know, the feedback I get from some of my listeners is, Gina, you always ask great questions, but where's the tough guy in you? Where's the tough side? So I wanted to try and find some downside to this. And I couldn't. I am not making that up. This is not like I am being sponsored by R&R products. I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, is it a lot more expensive? I couldn't find that very easily. Is the kind of equipment you're selling more expensive than other brands that do similar things on the market?
I tell everybody the hardest thing is getting the mind change. The equipment, you compare it to competitors on diesel and gas, it's less expensive. The fuel is half cost. The maintenance is half of what it is. You know, the environmental effects blows everybody else out of the water. It's just what I've seen doing this for so many years, especially in the lawn and garden industry, change is one of the hardest things for us to overcome. And you know it yourself, doing things in a greener manner. You know, I'm doing this because this is the way my parents showed me how to do it, or my grandparents showed me how to We've done it for years. And, you know, all of us, and like I say, I love what you're doing in a sense, don't we want to leave this world in a better place? I mean, whether you believe there's global warming or not, I can tell you, I've been to Alaska. I've seen the ice shelves up there, and I see a picture where this glacier has melted for miles back in there. What melted it? Something did.
I know.
I'm a firm believer. But, you know, and I tell everybody also when I go around and talk about it, I said, you know, your home has air filters. All your cars have air filters. Everything, engine has air filters. Well, we have air filters too, but ours ain't replaceable. It's called our lungs. And you look at the National Lung Association, it says that 55% of Americans living in industrialized cities will have some sort of lung disorder later in life. And we're all going to get there at some time. And if we could just clean up something, do a little something, you know, the 89 million pieces of lawn and garden equipment in this country alone, according to the EPA, is 5 to 10% of the U.S. pollution. It could very easily be done away with just by doing propane.
And it could just help on so many levels. And I was just as excited about this show. Sometimes the shows I do, like I want to go to bed and pull the covers up over my head because it's like there is not very much hope here, people. And then I get to do a show about this kind of content with someone like you that has such a history in the industry. And I'm like, let's celebrate good times. And I'm not looking for any bad news. I really did my homework, and it's price comparison, and when you the maintenance cost, the cost of the fuel itself. I mean, it's like we should be seeing a tipping point, hopefully, in the fleet industry moving towards this more rapidly as you overcome people's objections. I mean, it's very, very exciting to me.
It's a lot of education, but I can tell you that the cities, municipals, governments are being mandated now because of the foreign oil, because of the terrorist groups and stuff, and there are more talk, and I can tell you that as I go around and talk, of sustainability. Yeah, environmental, people are all over the board environmental, but when it comes to sustainability of using American fuels, not funding, you know, other things out there, I'm seeing that, and it's starting to take a notice.
And you can breathe easier. One takeaway, it's like you can breathe easier, people. You don't have to worry about polluting your lawn, polluting the watershed supply. I mean, it comes down to some very simple quality of life issues that you want to be an advocate for if you're a big golfer. So everybody, we're going to have to take another break, and we've got some more really good stuff to cover. I'd like to talk a little bit about transporting it. Are there disadvantages for that, and about refueling, and maybe even a little bit more about getting off our dependence on foreign oil. Everybody stay here with me. Delightful interview with James Coker from R&R Products, Director of Propane Applications. We'll be right back.
Mrs. Green's World's mission is to preserve the planet by creating a global community of people who care about the health of the Earth. We educate, inform, and inspire. Mrs. Green's World is an independent, non-political, agenda-free voice. Your generous gift enables all of us to explore the issues facing the health of the planet in a comprehensive way. As a Mrs. Green's World sustainer, you can assist us in offering trusted information, providing listeners with the tools to make their own conclusions and choose their own steps to create a healthier planet. Visit MrsGreensWorld.com and click on Become a Member today.
At the University of Arizona, we're putting solar know-how to work. And it's not just our researchers. Our students are on the job as well. Our student solar racing team, using recycled solar cells from NASA, designed and built a car from scratch that gets the equivalent of over 3,000 miles per gallon. Talk about students who will go far, really, really far. The University of Arizona, big questions, bold solutions, better tomorrows.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think, we just want you to. And for this show, we're giving you some amazing, exciting, earth-changing, pollution-freeing things to talk about, and I'm kind of, you know, a little goofy that I'm not feeling depressed about any of the content. The name of our show today is The Power of Propane, and joining us is the Director of Propane Applications at R&R Products. His name is Jim Coker, and if you just tuned in, I can tell you Jim cares greatly about the environment and about best practices, and he is sharing with us everything he knows about the power of propane, and it's a lot. It's important for people, and it's important for the planet. So, Jim, thank you. I know that you really are on the road a lot, and to give us an hour, it's great. You're doing a really nice service to Mother Earth here, so thank you for doing that.
You're welcome.
Okay. What about transporting it? Is it easy to transport it? Is there, you know, the portability of it is maybe a better word, because you can just go down to the gas station and fill a tank. But what about propane? Is it easily delivered and attractive because it can be delivered easily?
It's very easy, and that's part of the programs that I helped put together. I worked with the propane industry for 5 years. I started a program called Metrolon, which was working with AmeriGas, the largest propane company in the U.S. But besides AmeriGas, there are 7,000 propane providers in the U.S., and so there's plenty of providers. And what I've helped put together is a very simple program to where the propane provider will actually go to the location, the golf course, whatever, will set up the infrastructure. What is the infrastructure?
Wow.
Infrastructure is all the cylinders that you need to put on your equipment, the size that you need. And these are special cylinders. These are not forklift cylinders. These are special cylinders that are made for this type of application that we're using. So that the customer has a very simple thing. All he has to do is swap it out. They go to his location. They fill up. You don't ever have to worry about any spillage whatsoever. You can't spill it. To use it on a piece of equipment, you just unscrew the nozzle, take the tank off, put a new tank on, screw it on, which makes it very simple, very easy. And being at a golf course last week, if you run out of fuel on a diesel engine out on a golf course, you'll probably be fired because with diesel engines...
Good luck with that.
You have to get a mechanic out there. You've got to reprime the system and everything. With propane, no problem. Tank runs out, you shut it off. You either change the tank. Most of the equipment has two tanks on them. So you just open the other tank, it starts right back up, it goes. One of the mechanics I was talking to, he said if a greens mower that's on a greens ran out of fuel, we had to get a tractor, had to get it off of there because we weren't going to refuel it on the green because you spill one drop, you know, you've got it on there. He said, if it runs out, which they usually don't, but we can swap it. There's nothing we have to worry about anything, and it goes off and does. So the infrastructure is a key factor. It makes it very easy. It could be everything's done on site. And we also work with them on the price. Now, when you do a gas grill bottle, you may have some of your listeners think, well, hey, I filled up my grill bottle, and it cost me, if I looked at it right, it's about $4 or $5 a gallon.
Uh-huh.
Well, yes, it is in a small scale like that. It's kind of like what I say, if you go to a place and you order just a beer, and they charge you $4 or $5 for the beer, it's the convenience of where you're at, what you're doing, but you could go to a discount house and buy it a lot cheaper. When we set up the infrastructure, we're setting it up in a commercial basis where I can tell you every course and every place we're doing it right now, the cost of propane is at least 50% less than diesel and at least 30% less than gasoline prices. And the nice thing about propane is you can lock a price in for a year. So a course that's really struggling, you know, with their cost, you know, when gas went up real high and diesel went up real high, they're a slave to whatever that price is. But with propane, you can set your price for an entire year and know exactly what you're going to pay.
There is just, you know, it's another just no downside. And I want to read something to you because I think it's really important. It kind of covers the whole thing. And it's that James Bond analogy you used.
Yes.
In one of the pieces of research I did, it said, propane tanks do not explode, implode, rupture, or come apart on their own. Safety devices and mechanisms are in place to prevent explosions. This is the killer for me. Propane tanks involved in rollover accidents that were over 60% full, over 15,000 gallons of propane, were dented but did not explode even with the force of 10,000 pounds hitting the pavement. Now, nobody can say that if it's not true. That's, to me, the research of people. Let's get over our fear of propane and start marching on the golf courses saying, use propane, use propane.
Well, that's it. And do you think school buses went lightly in this
when
they started putting it on their school buses for children? There's no danger. And the power, that's what you talk to the show, propane has 108 octane. Gasoline, 86, 87. Octane is the power in the fuel. So I work with, everybody knows who Jack Roush is, Roush Industries Racing. I can tell you that Jack's daughter, Susan Roush, who I helped sponsor the last 5 years, has been running a propane dragster, an 850 horsepower Coyote engine. She has been doing it for 5 years. She is undefeated running propane against racing fuel. They found out they could get as much horsepower and torque out of propane at $2 a gallon than they could at racing fuel at $25 a gallon.
I mean, it knocks your socks off. I mean, it really does.
She is still out there racing. I still stay in contact with her, and she's been a great spokesman for propane because Roush Industries, they have a division called Roush CleanTech that is building trucks through Ford Industry that are doing propane trucks fully dedicated from F-150s all the way to 650s now. They do trucks for Frito-Lay, FedEx, all kinds of the majors now are doing propane through Roush Industries.
I mean, I can't believe that for racing cars. Okay. Now, what about, can we talk a little bit about your partners? I don't know if they're actually called partners, but I read quite a bit about the Propane Education and Research Council, PERC as you call it, had never heard of it, and that's okay. So can you tell us a little bit more about them and how are they connected R&R products or not?
Well, PERC is a government-mandated entity by Congress, as I said, for the education and the safety use of propane. And it could be anything from water heaters, everything in the world that is out there. And Roy Willis is CEO. I've known Roy for well over 10 years when I introduced the first commercial mower on propane. And it's very exciting because they want to educate and bring more applications for propane use as an alternative fuel. And, you know, with the things with the commercial mowers, it has been a big thing for them because the majority of propane right now is used in the wintertime for cooking, for heating, for oil.
Right.
And the summertime loads are probably 70% are used in the winter, 30% in the summer. And what they want to do is equal this out. And propane is its cheapest during the summertime load when mowing is taking place. What a perfect thing for the propane industry to be able to use this in better and more applications. And if you look at the industry between the mowers and the golf course industries, we're talking about billions, not millions, billions of gallons that could be used on propane and that could reduce foreign oil consumption. It's just mind-boggling when you look at all the applications. Anything that an engine runs on, gasoline or diesel, could be propane. Let me just state one thing that's real exciting for me now. With R&R, we've started a new division called PPS, Propane Powered Systems, and we already have a partnership. Briggs & Stratton Engines is working with us now to do any of their engines on propane for any application, be the golf industry,
wow,
the lawn and garden industry, the concrete industry, anywhere there's a small engine. Briggs & Stratton, they are the number one American leading engine manufacturer in the country, and now they want the help to go to propane, and we're excited to be a part of that with them.
It's really exciting, and when you think about R&R products, I mean, I think their parts are on every golf course in the world. I'm not sure.
Yes.
That might be a bold
yes.
claim, but I thought that was what I...
95% what I hear. 95% of the world's golf courses buy from R&R products.
And trust them, and there's a good relationship. So what a great marriage. I mean, this is really a great marriage to bring you on with your expertise and background and passion to go into a company that already has a lot of global connections. I mean, it's pretty exciting for me. I can tell you that right now. What about, I had no idea, and I want to go into it a little bit more. Did you actually say that there, I'm not a golfer. Let's do the disclaimer right there, okay? My brother's the golfing side of the family. But what about the Audubon Society? Do they actually have Audubon Society certified golf courses? Is that what you said earlier?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Go to Audubon International, Google them. They will list all the golf courses that are Audubon certified. Most of the Marriott courses are. Marriott is very big in sustainable and environmental practices. And that's what Audubon International does, is that they help courses to meet criteria, to meet a certain environmental program, to where they can actually put a placard on their thing that they are Audubon certified. And that it's a big thing. Really should be for all of us that they care enough.
I agree.
Because you hear about watering procedures, pesticides, fertilizers. They're using more things that are not harmful to the environment. And when I approached them about the fuel, this was brand new to them, and to cut emissions off the golf courses. I mean, you figure this equipment is being run every single day, and a lot of this equipment is run in big neighborhoods where there's homes there, and people have to smell that emissions. And so now to have clean burning equipment mowing their golf courses in their municipalities, best practices, I would think that's something they would want in their communities.
And, you know, if you look at our report card, we're really not doing well in terms of our cleaning up our air and our CO2 emissions. So something like this could have a significant slowing down impact of the trajectory that most scientists would agree that we're on. I mean, it's...
Sure.
And another thing that blew me away, I mean, put it in this little crystallized sentence, nearly 97% of all propane consumed in the United States is produced in the United States. And people, if you don't think that's going to matter more and more, you should start thinking it is. Because it's really, to me, it's not an issue that's going to go away. It's an issue that's going to continue to grow and helpful for us to not be fuel dependent on anyone. is really something that makes me very happy.
There's 100% no dependency on foreign oil. The 3% that's not included in there comes from Canada because of a free trade act that we have.
I've spoke
to the propane industry in Canada. They only use 20% of the propane they produce up there. And the nice thing about propane is that every country produces their own propane. I was in Australia 6 years ago. A lot of countries have already adopted propane as an engine fuel. Australia even incentivizes people to put it on their automobiles. When you pull up to a gas station, they have petrol, which is gas diesel, and then they call it autogas. That's the new word in our country that's coming in. It's autogas, which is propane. And it was half the price of gas or diesel.
Wow.
At their gas pumps. And we have been slow to adopt that, where other countries like Australia, Korea, a lot of countries have been using propane in their automobiles for years because it's so much cheaper to produce. And it's, like I say, every country has been producing. Right now, there's overabundance of propane in the world. You can't say that about petroleum.
And to have an abundance of stuff. I mean, I'm really getting a little bit hyperbolic here. I don't want to go off on the hyperbole trajectory, but it is to me, and you answered another question I had. So if there's fueling stations and it's side by side by gasoline, that means it just takes about the same time to refuel as a gasoline vehicle. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So there's no extra time.
Without the possibility of spilling.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Okay, what about, what else do you want to share with us? I mean, I'm kind of like sitting here absorbing all of this and thinking, I guess my biggest question would be, how fast could the supply meet the demand if all of these golf courses love it and you know they all talk amongst themselves, as we say in Jersey, you know, talk amongst yourselves. What about how fast could you see some transitioning happening for golf courses, for our city golf courses, and for some of the big players? Can it happen quickly?
Yeah. It can happen quickly. The biggest thing with the diesel equipment, you cannot convert a diesel engine to propane, but you can convert a gasoline engine to propane.
Okay.
The difference of the two is that it has to be a spark-ignited engine. That's what a gasoline. Propane runs like a spark-ignited engine. Diesel, you know, is more of a compression engine. So with the diesels, you have to replace those. With the spark ignited, you can do conversion on those. I've already done, in my year's experience, the smaller equipment at these golf courses, like the greens mowers, the sand rakes, and all those that where they have gasoline engines, the blowers, all that. All those small engines that are gasoline, all those can be converted by simply changing out the carburetor, putting on a propane fuel system, and that's it. And it's a very relatively inexpensive. I could tell you Royal St. Cloud in Florida, I did six of their riding greens mowers almost 5 years ago. I saw him at the golf industry show in San Antonio just this past year, and he says those were his best running machines with the least amount of problems. So there is a lot of conversions. That's the biggest opportunity there. And then to get golf courses and municipal people to start demanding, listen, we want a more sustainable, we want to reduce cost, we want to reduce maintenance, and that's the biggest thing. And that's what's starting to take place in the lawn and garden industry, where there's 20 manufacturers compared to 3 manufacturers in the golf industry. I say 4 now with R&R joining the group. But we want to be able to take this to a whole new level. And I've been on an education course for well over 10 years all over the country in speaking, educating, talking, and the biggest thing is demonstrating. Put the equipment out there, let you see it, let you run it, set your tail on it, and everybody tells me it's got more power, it runs better performance than anything they've ever run. And that's the music that you want to hear back.
Well, and the music to my ears as someone that doesn't play golf but that cares greatly about the earth and our environment and the air we're breathing and all the diseases that are related to, lung issues and asthma and all that, is that you made this show so relatable by telling it in English and not speaking in propane, if that makes sense. I mean, you really gave us, as consumers, and lots of golfers listen to this show, and they can go and advocate and ask questions and find out more about it. And we have to, like 30 seconds. So I want to thank you, Jim Coker, Director of Propane Applications at R&R Products, for your commitment to the planet and for being on this path. And everybody, the call to action, know your golf course and start asking questions. And next week, June 27th, Megan Kimball, author of Unprocessed, My City-Dwelling Year of Reclaiming Real Food. Jim Coker, keep up the good green work, and everybody make it a great green week. Thanks for being a part of Mrs. Green's World.